I don't know what all this other stuff is on here, but it's not on my drum drive, I know that. Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, let me get this thing out of the way. Love lifted me. In case you needed interpretation, that's it. Oops, what's happening here, brother? How's that? Okay, there we go. Well, good evening. So we are very happy to be here with y'all, and it's good to see Pastor John and Christina and the boys. Glad to see Lewis and Carol here tonight, and Lynn and Carol, and so many of you that we know and remember, and so happy to be here. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. I'll try to fill in some spaces while I'm preaching tonight about how we ended up, of course, in Chuuk, and then, of course, what's happening out there. And thank you all so much. I think that Victory Baptist is one of the most, one of our churches that keeps up with us the most on Facebook. And like I said about Kenny O'Dell, I feel like I keep up with y'all through the emails. One thing I like about Kenny's emails, right? Like he'll write and request prayer for somebody. And then, so, you know, you pray for them. And then, I mean, 8 hours, 16, 24, you know, whatever hours. Usually doesn't go past 24 hours. You get a follow-up. Like, okay, prayer's answered. Out of the hospital, back home, or, you know, or continue to pray this thing. So, Kenny, thank you. It's nice to have that contact with the church. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And before we read this, I'll pray. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. And I pray tonight that you would cleanse me in your blood and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your written word, your wonderful word, your eternal word. Thank you that we can report to the church. Thank you for their generosity to us, to pray for us, to give, to be aware, Lord, of what's been going on out there. And I think of the, over the years, things that they've done to help us with all the radios and just all the stuff and people sending gifts around Christmas time to help with the stocking project and just so many different things that take place. Being so far away, we just thank you for each of them. Please bless each one here tonight. Lord, please save the lost. There's those that are with us tonight that have never been born again. May they be born again. Those that are backslidden and away from you, may they be revived. And each of us, Lord, that are saved and know it, and we look for you to come, and we believe, Lord Jesus, that you're coming as soon. We just want to be ready for that great opportunity and time in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's just read that together. Acts 5, 42. And okay, let's just read together. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Get out the message, or get the message out, preach the gospel. This is the title of a message tonight, preaching the gospel. We are sent out from here to preach the gospel. This church has taken an active part in sending us out. I was ordained to the gospel ministry just down the street from this church, down on Curtis Street, ordained to the gospel ministry, commissioned as a missionary, and sent out from here. In December of 1990, Terry and I drove down Curtis Street and were on our way to California to load our van on a ship and head with Andrea and Alicia to Hawaii for our first missionary service in Hawaii. We spent, we got there to Hawaii in January of 91. Matthew showed up in April of 91, and he was born there in Hawaii, and we started that church in Honolulu in June of 91, and it wasn't long into that work, the first Chuukis people came to the service, and I had prayed that the Lord would lead me to a people group. After being in that area, Mo'olele, Honolulu, preaching, I prayed that the Lord would help me to focus on a people group, even if that meant learning their language. And that's how it's worked out. The Lord brought the Chuukis people there. We began to minister to them. in the hospital system in Hawaii. They were there and led many to Christ. Chukchi's people are third-party tribal clanal people, closed to outsiders, but when we began to see people saved there in Hawaii, they began to invite us to go down, and had the opportunity to go from Hawaii to Chukchi 11 times on evangelistic mission meetings. We would go down and preach in those in the villages on the islands. I've seen all of Chukchi, either by sea or by air. I've been on most of the islands in Chukchi. There are 50 inhabited islands, 250 villages. It'd be impossible for us to get to every village. So now we have the radio station. We're so grateful and thankful. And so many of you know about our children, Andrea, Alicia, and Matthew, and Terry, and my wife Terry, and the work that they've been doing. The radio is tremendous since around 2008. Now, everything is in Chukchi's, and the radio plays 24 hours a day. So we have all the singing, and it's all been recorded, terabytes of information. And Terry still now, today, works on the programming, and we send it out, even though we're here. She's working on this on August right now, and about halfway through August, and we'll be sending that out for them to play on the radio. Why? Because we preach the gospel in Chukchi. Well, a lot of times we're asked when we come back, what do we notice? Are there any changes that we've noticed in America since we've been gone? And if there's any change, it would be a lack today of power, a lack of power in the church, a lack of power in lives, directly related to a lack of gospel preaching. The gospel is the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as it teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-5. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, 16. The gospel is the only thing that can change men's lives. The gospel is preaching the cross, the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it makes it very clear to us. But this day and this hour that we live, if I know that there's a lack of power in my life personally on the field in Chukchi, I have to evaluate the situation. Why do I feel like such a lack of power? It's a lack of gospel preaching. It's time to go out and find someone to lead to the Lord. It's time to go preach the gospel and serve Christ and do what we're called to do, preaching the gospel. Sad to say that many today are ashamed of the gospel, so they're not preaching the gospel. And they, as Romans 1:16 makes it very clear, that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And he states it very clearly, it is the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Today, many people try to preach a different gospel. Galatians 1, 6-8. And Paul, when he heard that people were preaching a different gospel, he marveled. He marveled at that. He was shocked at that. I can say that's the same thing. We hear a lot of new stuff coming out. It is not the gospel. They try to hide the gospel. And the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those that are lost. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9:12, in that last section of verse 12, 1 Corinthians 9:12, he said, "But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." Hinder the gospel of Christ. I do not want to be guilty of hindering the gospel of Christ. Anything in my life that does not preach the gospel or show the gospel, it needs to go. So this lack of power today is directly related to a lack of gospel preaching. You know, I think that what the Lord wants us to do is preach the gospel until He comes. And why do we know that? I see in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 what's going to happen after the rapture occurs. Tribulation has begun. John says in Revelation 14 and verse 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." So during the tribulation, the Lord's assigning one angel to fly across the earth, and he's going to be preaching the everlasting gospel. The gospel. This is the gospel and the opportunity and the freedom that we have now today, this hour, to preach the gospel. So if that angel will preach the everlasting gospel, so should we. The problem with this lack of power today and this lack of gospel preaching is a lack of perception of the time that we live in. We live in the days of Noah. Now, I'm a foreigner in your country. Terry and I have been, if we just talk about Simpsonville alone, we've been certainly in our mission experience in Hawaii, 32 years, 6 years in Hawaii, 24 years now in Chuuk, 2 years on deputation. And so it seems to me like it's just, I can't believe it, that many years have passed. It's just gone by. But this time that we need to realize, the time that we live in, lack of perception of the day, we have to realize we live in the days of Noah. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What are these days of Noah? Well, he spells it out for us back in Genesis chapter 6. We can read about the very day, the very time. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The days of Noah. Wouldn't you agree with me that wickedness is great in the earth and the imagination and thoughts of all hearts are evil continually? Yes. The days of Sodom. We live in the days of Sodom. In 2 Peter, it's interesting to me that in 2 Peter 2, 6 through 7, it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Now here's some language for you, filthy conversation of the wicked. I have to say that we live in the days of Sodom. Days of coldness. We do, and I believe it's the time, the Laodicean age. What happens? People need to return to their first love. The love is cold. Why is it cold? And Jesus made it clear in Matthew 24, verse 12, through 14, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, shall the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Cold love, verse 12, makes it very clear. Paul's writing in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, talks about the without natural affection, love waxing cold among believers and in the church. One of the things that the people in Chuuk like to ask about is Metparos and Fanu in America. They always want to know, what's the story of the island of America? And they've heard about abortion. And one of the hardest things to describe to them is it's legal in America to abort a full-term 9-month baby. And go all the way up to the day of delivery. And they deliver that baby to death, not to life. That's gross. It's horrible. Terry and I were looking for maternity clothes, because here's some good news. Alicia's expecting. Yeah, Andrea already had two babies, right? Like Terry says, great to have grandchildren. It's a bonus if they're cute. Now, Alicia's expecting, and her little baby's due on December 26th. Now, you know, we're looking forward to getting back to Chuuk. What does that mean? Is it going to be hard to leave? Yeah, but maybe we'll get held up till December 26th. I don't know. Pray for Alicia. We started looking for maternity clothes at Macy's department store in Indianapolis, Indiana. We were looking for maternity clothes. Terry asked the lady, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but we just need to ask a question. We can't find them, but do you have a section for maternity clothes?" The lady said, "I'm sorry, we no longer sell maternity clothes. There's no market for them." We turned to walk out of that section just horrified about the fact that why in the world wouldn't there be a market for maternity clothes? I think I got that figured out. We live in the days of Noah, the days of Sodom. And we turned to walk out of the store and see a rack of doggy mom clothes. I'm a doggy mom. You know, if you have a dog, you you know, want to dress it, have a little dog outfit you can buy that matches your outfit. And there are doggy parks we've seen driving around the country now, and doggy hotels. One thing I don't see is children playing. And so when I talk about it or ask that question, I said, what's the deal? You know, 75% of our population in Chuuk is 24 years and younger. But here in America, that's not the case. And so we see, well, there's no children playing. Oh, yeah, well, you know, this COVID thing we're going through. Parents are letting their kids out and playing in parks and all that kind of thing. I think that's not right. Verse 14, it says that the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth. A lady asked me today, why do you think, she asked me, Jesus is coming soon? I said, because the gospel of the kingdom is being preached in all the world. Onari, Mokur, and Pisarach are three islands in the northern Naaman Waitos. They're not on any map. I've never found them on a map. But I've seen them. We drifted by the island of Onari one night on a ship. The captain stepped out on the deck as we passed the island. He wouldn't drop the anchor. He drifted by and he rang the bell and he called out on the loudspeaker, Onari, 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 ding, 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 Onari, Onari, Onari. The sun was setting. I could see the island was inhabited. He was calling for anyone on that island that wanted to board the ship. Now was their minute. Now was their opportunity to come out. They brought a wounded man out, had fallen on a reef, and his leg was badly infected. Mokur and Pisarach, two islands just past Onari. Interesting thing to me about those islands, they were very beautiful. They were covered in ironwood trees. The strangest thing in the middle of the Pacific. They had coconut trees and breadfruit trees, but that's the thing that I remember. As the sun was going down, that there were people on those islands. It took us 24 hours to go from Onari to back to our island. This is a remote part of the world. And yet the gospel is reaching. How do we know that? Well, one day, we were all there at the house. We're getting ready to eat lunch. And this old man walked into the yard with a walking stick. And he walked in with that walking stick. And he planted it in the middle of the driveway. He took his other hand. And then he leaned back and looked up the tower. Terry said, do you know that man in the yard? I said, no, I've never seen him before. And so I went outside to meet him. And he said, Ngang Max Zini Onari. He said, I'm Max from Onari. And I said, oh, Max. Wafen Kunafenuom. I said, Max, I've already seen your island. And he said, I came on a ship to this island to see the tower that the radio is reaching our island from. And I said, that's 195 nautical miles to the north of us. And I just didn't believe it at first that our station was reaching Onari at that point. He said, I said, on at 6, off at 10. Well, that's was our schedule at that time. Now it's 24 hours. But he said, Atik Onu Atur Ewan. He said, it's on at 6, off at 10. I go, okay. Well, maybe you're hearing the state radio station, because they had an AM radio at that time that they were broadcasting state announcements and things for, you know, the state. And he got a little irritated with me, and he just looked at me and raised his voice, and he said, Nancy Drew! And Nancy Drew, well, that's one of Andrea's programs. You know, we have Nancy Drew and the Lone Ranger and Superman, you know, and it's all in Chuukese, but the way they do it is they put the sound effects to it, and Andrea would sit there with Nancy Drew books and reading in English but speaking in Chuukese. Nancy Drew, like Terry said, is our 20-chapter books, and so she would divide them up by five every 5 days a week, and every 4 weeks, Nancy Drew book plays. So when he hollered Nancy Drew, well, I knew he was listening to our station. He said, on Onari, I go from house to house and sit down outside and listen to the radio, because he didn't have a radio, but the people that did would play the radio. When it came to the preaching time, some would turn it off. And so he would get up and walk to another house and sit down and listen. And so I was able to lead Max to Christ and gave him a radio. And he left. Max, no doubt today, is in heaven. I don't think a man his age would still be alive in those conditions. Don't believe it. I'm so glad the gospel is being preached to the ends of the earth. So in these days of coldness and this lack of love, we have to understand that the gospel is being preached far off places. Also, these days that we live in today, we have to admit, not only are there the days of Noah, days of Sodom, and the days of coldness, but there are days of creature worshipers. Green earth, Green New Deal. Listen carefully to what these people are saying. Romans chapter 1, 21 through 32 makes it very clear. And if you read that and you compare that to what we're hearing today, it's a carbon copy of what's happening. As I listen to this and I see this, and you know, like I said, now when people ask, they say, what's different? Well, I can tell you that's one thing that's different. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Well, you could read on, but the reprobate, homosexuals, sodomites, transgender. You know, you hear about all this stuff today and you go like, what in the world? What are they talking about? Alterations have already occurred according to the scripture. And if you read back in Genesis 6, 1 through 7, you could read about a group of people called the Zamzumans. A little bit more into that passage of scripture as it's studied out, you could say, well, something happened. Giants were born. Genetically altered. You study that out, you realize, and it's interesting to me that on the island of Tol, the western Fichuk Islands of Chuuk, when the people are digging around the dirt, maybe trying to plant something or digging a grave, they'll come across skeletal remains of people that have been buried in the past. It's interesting that in that particular part of the islands of Chuuk, they're digging up skeletons of people that were 7 feet tall. Now, you think about that, you study that out in relation to this. Why was that a genetic, how did that happen? It happened because of genetic alterations. By how? By what? By inbreeding in a small village, remote island. It happens. Well, the days that we live in, these people today in America, they... You know, I've had the privilege now of preaching the gospel to pagans and to heathens. And so many times when I'm there on that island, in those islands, in those villages, in that hospital, and I have a moment with them with the gospel of Christ, I realize this is a moment in eternity. I have one opportunity to get them the gospel, and it's now. I never will be back. I have to realize myself why I won't be back there. I have one great opportunity now, and that's to preach to them the language, in their language, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pagans and heathens, tattoos all over their foreheads, their faces, their foreheads. In some villages and situations we've been in, some of the men in the group only have one eye because it's been shot out with arrows. And you realize when you begin to preach the gospel, that's what they need. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and Jesus Christ alone can change them. But a pagan is not a Christian. They have a deep reverence for nature, their earth conscience. Heathen does not hold to a widely held religion. So I think about the people today that we live around in these days of Noah, days of Sodom, days of coldness, and creature worshipers. We realize that these people are pagans and heathens. And having been among pagans and heathens, and come here and I realize, I say, man, this is weird. I'm coming off the mission field back into a situation where country has slipped way, way down morally to the point of paganism and hedonism. They call themselves non-theistic Americans. Non-Christian religious minority. They say this about themselves. They say they care deeply about and contribute to their country. As I see it, they only contribute to its destruction. USA, USA, USA. Yes, USA. Glad to be an American. USA. China's trying to take over Chuuk. China's there. October 1, 2018, Communist China flag was raised over the government buildings they're constructing there. October 1, the Communist Revolution. Now the flag is flying just down below our house. I took a picture of it and sent it to the U.S. Embassy and said, "What is this?" Men like Louis Votaw fought and died to protect those islands. So we think about America. USA, I think, well, another acrostic. United States of America, yes, but USA, unbelievable sin abounds. Unbelievable sin abounds. We do not discriminate. We believe that all are sinners and need to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, that's the verse that goes over and over and over in my mind when people come to me as a gospel preacher. I realize that it's not God's will that he perish. I don't want to hide the gospel. I don't want to hinder the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. I want to tell that dear person, Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again. The lost. Well, they're on a personal religious journey. Now, you know, when you begin to preach the gospel, sometimes to pagans and heathens, they'll say they're on their personal religious journey. Sorry, guys, I got to blow my nose. And I said, you know, who in here has never blowed their nose? Raise your hand. Hang on, here we go. Better turn that microphone off, pal. Now you can turn it back. Okay, good. There we go. That'll probably happen again before it's over. The lost say they're on their own personal religious journey. But where will it end? It will end in destruction. You cannot be on your own personal religious journey and not hear the gospel. You hear the gospel, you have an opportunity and responsibility to respond and to be born again. Calling sinners to repentance. Calling them to confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because God alone says that's what will save you. There is just a two-word message. That'd be about the shortest message you could preach, isn't it? Just two words. We find them in 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema. Now, Unger says anathema, full stop. Like an old telegram. When they wanted to put a period, they would say full stop. So, anathema, full stop, period, maranatha. Anathema is the message to the doomed. Damned to final perdition. Anathema. Maranatha to the believer. Our Lord cometh. And that's the message for the day we live in. These days of Sodom. These days of Noah. The message for America today is anathema, maranatha. Before I left Chuuk, that was my last message. When I preached, we didn't translate into Chuukese. There's no need to do that. We use anathema, maranatha. We taught it to them. We explained it to them, what it meant. And as I was preaching to them the message of anathema, maranatha, I could hear the people saying back, "Maranatha, Maranatha." One of the ladies greeted us as we were leaving. She was so sad and didn't know, you know, they're always worried that they're going to die before we get back there. And we just say, well, don't die. Stay alive. We'll be here. Or we'll be with you in the, with the Lord. And I said to her, her name's Nursie, I said to her leaving, I said, Anathema, Maranatha. And she said, Maranatha, our Lord come. Well, in this day that we live in, the lack of power, the lack of perception, there is no lack of pride. No lack of pride. So many today, they say they're proud to be gay. This particular month is, Disney has set aside the month of June for Gay Pride Month. United States Army recruit video, the new video, it's on YouTube. It goes out. It's out. You can look at it on YouTube. It's horrible. I can't even explain it to you. You just have to see it yourself. And you think, oh yeah. It's weird to me that they've hijacked the rainbow. Genesis 9, 13 through 16 talks about the Rasim. The people in Chuuk say the Rasim, Rasim, the rainbow. They'll see a Rasim and they'll want to know if I know what that is. They'll point to a rainbow and they'll say Rasim. And I said, Iradia wa Rasim. And quod pon yeti kich. There's the rainbow, God's promise to us. And they answer back, Am I sub manofen notor sefen? We will never die in the flood of water again. Yes. But God will destroy this world in fire. Contacted the U.S. Embassy in Pohnpei the other day and talked to one of the Shard affairs, tried to get some information and find out how we can help, if there's anything that's possible for us to do to speed this process along to be able to get back out there any sooner. And as I was waiting in line and looking at their embassy website, they had put on there a bulletin that came out from Washington, D.C., the State Department, to all U.S. embassies and consulates around the world, that from May 17th to June 30th, they're under the order from the State Department of Washington to hang the gay pride flag underneath Old Glory on the same pole. They specifically spelled it out. It will hang under the United States flag on the same pole from May 17th to June 30th. They said that is by order of the State Department in Washington. They would suggest and ask that all embassies and consulates around the world do that for the next 12 months. Man, I can't believe it. That's not good. No lack of pride. You know what's creeping into the church today too? People say, well, notice anything that's changed. It's interesting that as I was reading in Isaiah this past week, I came across some verses. I thought I would look up some commentaries. What did other men say about that? One particular area that I was reading about was about prophets preaching to people in a backslidden state, a backslidden condition. And in Isaiah's time, the people wanted the prophets to tune their voice to the times. They wanted the prophets to tune their voice, their message, to the time that they were living in. They didn't want to change their life at what they were hearing from the prophet. They wanted the prophet to change. Certainly that's the day we live in. Well, faithful ministers will not be driven from seeking to awaken sinners. Another commentator stated. And I thought about that. Well, today what's creeping into the church, people are proud of their wine. And I can't believe it. We deal with drunks. Now I begin to see people sipping wine. Our drunks drink wine. They buy it by the gallon box. It's in a bag. It's got a little rubber hose on it. They'll put it on the dash of the car and drive around. Them and their friends, they're drinking that wine from that hose, and it's not just one box. It usually ends up being several boxes, and by the time they get home drunk at night, they take the little kids, get in the car, and get the boxes out, take this knife, and the way they cut these boxes is kind of interesting. Watch it. They make hats out of them. We used to use the statistic that average life expectancy for the male populace in Chuuk is 47 years and younger. Those deaths were all attributed to alcohol. We have teenagers that die of cirrhosis in Chuuk. We know about drunks. If they can't get wine, they They drink fermented coconuts. They drink roach spray. I was on an island of Satawan in the southern Mortlock Islands one day, walking around preaching the gospel, and I saw an unbelievable number of roach spray cans. All of them were ripped open, piled up, huge pile. I said, "What in the world is this?" They said, "Oh, missionary, we're sorry to say that teenagers come out here and they drink that to get drunk." They can't get wine, fermented coconuts, or roach spray. Now they're taking propane cans, those little can cylinder propane, stick it on their eye tooth and shoot their throat full of propane. Why in the world would the church be proud of wine? Proverbs 20, verse 1, still in the Bible. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And remember, what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. They do everybody good if they need to learn a little bit about alcoholism. A simple thing to do. Go watch an old movie called Days of Wine and Roses. Before Andrea translated our, well, the AA stuff, the program, into Chukchi, we call it Arini Sngeri Sosakau, Help for the Drunk. We showed that movie. We explained it to the people, and they, believe me, everybody in Chuk knows about alcoholism. It's a horrible thing. Well, we live in a day. No lack of pride. Well, just another observance. Proud of my tattoo. How many people today are getting tattoos? Well, I can tell you. We teach the children in Chuk not to mark up their bodies. Because it's written in Leviticus, God makes it very clear not to mark up your body. It also says not to make marks in yourself. There's a man in Chuk that I've known in the past, and I look at his forearms, and they are so lacerated with marks, you couldn't count the scars on his arms. And they do that when they get drunk. They'll haul off and just stab themselves with knives to try to show that they're grieving and sorrowing. And then they just, in some of those places we go to, and those islands are covered in tattoos, the men and women both. Centipedes up their necks, skulls and crossbones, knives, and every other filthy thing you can think of tattooed on their bodies. And so we come back to America, and I think, what in the world is going on? These people are heathen and pagan. Well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want to do. But isn't that what the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 6, especially to the church? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A man in Chuk had a tattoo on his arm of a naked woman, Kintin. Was saved and baptized and wanted to become more active in the church. Plays the ukulele. Can really memorize scripture. Terry reminded me today he memorized the book of Jude. And we told Kintin, I said, he has a naked woman tattooed on his arm. I said, Kintin, if you're going to come to church regularly, you're going to have to tie a bandana around that tattoo. Or get a long sleeve shirt. And if you can't find one, we'll help you find one. Option three is find somebody to tattoo a dress on that naked woman. And Terry reported to me, Kintin went and got somebody to tattoo a dress on that woman. And such were some of you, Paul says. And so when you're, if you say, oh, man, I hope the missionary didn't see my tattoo, or he's going to embarrass me, you know. You have to think, well, I hope that was your past life. And such were some of you. Proud of my car, proud of my house, proud of my money. And then another thing I saw it today before we came here. People are starting to put plugs in their ears. You seen these young guys putting them big old plugs in their ears? You know, they start out with one that's kind of small. A little bit later, you see him, he's got one a little bit bigger and bigger. Big old round plug in their ear. You know, that's paganism. That's heathenism. I was in the Western Carolina island of Pulawat. And I saw, they said, missionary, we want you to preach the gospel to the oldest lady on the island. And they walked me up to that village, into that house. When I got inside that building, that woman was sitting there, and her earlobes were on her shoulders. They were so far down. She had had plugs in her ears all those years. And they tried to explain it to me. They didn't have to explain anything to me. I knew what the situation was. The woman needed Christ. So we see this today. We think, what in the world? They're being deceived by Satan. They're taking a dive into something that they have no idea. They think it's a new thing. It's not a new thing. Talking about tattoos, I was thinking about this guy, Otzi. I don't know if you guys have probably studied about Iceman. Otzi, they gave a name to him. He was the mummy, the oldest mummified body ever discovered in the world, but on the Ostel Alps between Austria and Italy in 1991. And that glacier melt, this body was exposed. And they've given a name to the Iceman. His name's Otzi. And in examining the body, carbon dating the body, they put him at 3400 B.C., which, as creationists, we believe that was the time of the flood. So Otzi, after studying it and looking into it, I believe that he was caught in that cataclysmic event of the flood and trapped and frozen in that glacier. And they say, well, if it wasn't then, it was 300 years later. If it was 300 years later, then Otzi was fleeing Babel. So that guy was alive. He had heard Noah and his message. Or he was caught in that judgment. Interesting thing, when they examined Nazi's body, he's got 61 tattoos. When I began to look at that, I remembered seeing tattoos on an old man in Pulawat, in a Western Carolina island, with the same looking tattoos on his legs. And I thought, I can't believe it. And so now when we go around and I see somebody, it just comes out of my mouth. I don't try to be rude, or I don't say it to them. I say it to myself. There's Otzi. I can't believe these people are just destroying themselves. For what purpose? They need Christ. I don't ask that question when I see some guy that's covered in tattoos and chuka sitting in front of me listening to the gospel. I think, this poor man, this poor person, he needs Jesus Christ, Lord, save his soul. Help him. Well, proud of my kids. We all are, aren't we? But the sad part about it is some people are proud of their kids, and never mind that their kids are addicted to wine, drugs, pornography, homosexuality, and lesbianism. They should be grieving for their souls. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Some people are working hard to leave something for their children, an inheritance. But their children are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. If a drunk dies in Chuuk, the people will ask, missionary, Met Kai Kiki, Muninan Aya, missionary, what do you think? Where does soul go? And I have to speak the truth. I have to say, Kapasin Gwad Aapasa Sosaka Resap Moody Moon Gwad. So here's what my answer is. I'm sorry to report to you that the Word of God says the drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Well, crowds today will cry, crucify him. They cried it to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to gospel preachers, I think you'll hear it. Crucify him. They don't want to hear that. But keep preaching until Jesus comes. Crucify him, preach the gospel. And we cry, Hosanna. Amenawakem. Hosanna. Save now. Hosanna. Let the crowd cry, crucify him. We'll cry, Hosanna. It's been a privilege of mine to lead many to Christ. And Chuuk, thank you for praying to that end. One lady told me this morning, she said, missionary, I pray for you to boldly proclaim the gospel. She said, that's my prayer for you every day. I pray that God will give you boldness to proclaim the gospel. I said, thank you so much. When we left here, I had no idea where God would take us. So many times, like I said, a point in eternity, preaching the gospel. Yes, come to Christ. I'm here now. This is the message. You're here now. God wants you to hear. And on their deathbed, which most of the people I lead to Christ and Chuuk are on their deathbed, either injured from a vast number of things, arrows, axe, dynamite, machetes, beaten with clubs, leading them to faith in Christ on their deathbed. The Lord's led me to always share with them what he said about the Good Shepherd. And leading them down, having preached the gospel, sharing those verses with them, the Romans Road, coming to time to pray. Right before we pray, I'll say, the Good Shepherd, he had 100 sheep. And in the evening, he put them in a place. So a foleniok with sheep. And he would take the sheep into the fold. And as he was putting them in the fold, he counted them, and he came up with 99. And the Bible tells us that, and I'll ask him, I said, if the shepherd left the 99, and he started with 100, and he's going to go look for how many? And they'll say, almost 100% of the time, laying there in the bed, they'll raise their finger and they'll say, Amen. One. And I have the privilege of leaning over there and saying to them, En, Ewe Emin, you are the one. And every time they break down and cry, that Jesus loves them. Jesus left heaven for them. And they were the lost sheep. And he came for them. And they be moved by the Spirit of God to know that God loves them. And Jesus died for them. And pray and ask Jesus to save them. We lead them in prayer. They receive Christ as Savior. And I asked them, I said, And one night, there's an arrow laying on our table out there. But one night I went to the hospital. There was a young man in his 30s. Had an arrow shot straight into his heart. Jojo, the Filipino surgeon that's there, has been there the same length of time we've been there. We've been there 24 years. Jojo came short just a few months after us. Jojo said that he's removed 1,800 arrows since we've been there. And I went in and Jojo said, could you please talk to this guy? He said, if I remove that arrow right now, he'll die immediately. If I leave it in, he'll be dead at midnight. And every time his heart beat, the arrow would just move. And I felt so sorry for him. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm solitipus. And that's a soft word. That's a way of saying I'm sorry for sin. I'm sorry for sin. My sin, your sin, the effect of sin. I'm sorry for that. And he said, ewer, ewer. He said, yes, yes, yes. And I said, I have to tell you that manalopotoruk lepone, death will come to you tonight. I have nothing else to say to him but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. The power of God unto salvation. He prayed and asked Jesus to save him. I asked him, I said, death comes to you tonight. Your spirit will go where? And he smiled and he said, Lang. heaven. Yes. Yes. Living in a society with rampant drug abuse, planting marijuana, selling marijuana, killing over marijuana, maiming over marijuana, poverty because of marijuana, arrows, axes, machetes. I can't for the life of me figure out why America wants to turn to that. It's time to repent. Jesus is coming. This day, our day, and until Jesus comes, preach the gospel. Need for repentance? Preach the gospel. Need for revival? Preach the gospel. Need for Christ's return? Looking for Christ's return? Preach the gospel. Jesus himself said in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Last verse. I was reading in Job and Elihu said this. It was so powerful when I read it. I want to share it with you in leaving tonight. Job 33:27-28. Elihu said this about God. He looketh upon men. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he, God, will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. So if you're here tonight and you would say, I have perverted what was right, and all sin is a perversion of what's right, if I have perverted what is right, it profited me not. God will deliver your soul from going into the pit. A man came to me and he said, I am so sorry. I said, what for, Minoru? I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I said, what for? What's he sorry about? My mother and father and my relatives, my clan, are in hell. They never heard the gospel. He was brokenhearted about it. Too late. Too late. But it's not too late. Where there's life, there's hope. There was an American surgeon there one day, and we needed his help. A man had been shot with an arrow in the lower left abdomen. They said, missionary, you've got to go find that surgeon, because he had already left the hospital and he was on the south end of the island. We drove out there, found the guy. I told him, I said, Dr. Olmsted, could you please come back to the hospital with me? You have a man down there shot in the lower left abdomen. There was a fight and they shot him with an arrow and they need your help at the hospital. And he kept saying, lower left abdomen, cracked the chest. That's what he said. He just said it out loud. He was trying to think. We were driving back into the hospital, and he said, I think, he said, the arrow has penetrated the apex of the heart, and I'll need your help. And so he got to the hospital, and the man is already going into a cardiac arrest because his chest cavity is filling up with blood. The Filipino surgeon backed off and said he gave up. He said, the guy's going to die. He just backed off from him. The nurses walked out. And Dr. Olmsted said, hold the light. And I had already gone to the house and got lights to bring back to hold for him, because I had given that man some gospel tracts 3 days before. I didn't want him to die. And I was holding the light, and Olmsted opened that man's chest. He stuck his hand in his chest cavity and hollered at me to hold the light. I was holding the light up into that man's body, and Olmsted reached his hand up there to his heart, and he pulled the arrow out. He sewed that up. He massaged his heart, and the man was alive. And he said, where there's life, there's hope. And so there is hope. for life in Christ alone. Preach the gospel. Let's close. Pastor John.
I'm encouraged by the power of the gospel. I hope you have been as well. And it's wonderful to hear the gospel changing lives in a South Pacific island around the world. But you know, in reality, we have people in our neighborhood, don't we? That we come across that they need to be changed by the power of the gospel. It's great to hear someone else doing it, but we have a responsibility as well. Let's pray for our missionary, the family, the Colsons. Let's pray for our church as well, that we would have the desire, the boldness, as he talked about, to share the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that extends to all people of every nation, everywhere in the world. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, we see signs of paganism and cold-heartedness around us, Lord, but help us not to write people off, to say that's the way it is, it's your judgment. Lord, let's pursue these people. Let's share the gospel, reach out to them, speak to them, engage them, share the love of Christ. Lord, thank you for the wonderful souls that have been saved. We thank you for the joy that permeates a soul that knows they're forgiven, has known the love of Christ. Lord, pray that you would change our hearts. Help us to confess the coldness, Lord, the uncaring attitude that we may have. Lord, help us when we get wrapped up in our schedule or our whatever it is. Lord, help us to just be aware of the people around us. And Lord, tonight we pray that if there's someone here that they need to confess a cold heart as well, they'd come, get it right with you, that we would see the blessings of the wonderful power of the gospel in our life. We tell others, in your name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please.